Hello. Priyanka, can you mute our host?
Hello. Yes, I'm Priyanka.
Yeah, so can you make me and Bhavna co-host?
Yeah, okay.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon,
Echoing.
There is an echo, it seems. I don't know why. Bhavna, हमारा वॉइस एक आ रहा है क्या?
नो नहीं
हमको तो आ रहा है एक।
बट आई कैन क्लियरली अंडरस्टैंड.
मैं अपने बच्चे बिकॉज ये तो बहुत ही अजीब होगा.
डोंट नो मैन, ये लैपटॉप है। Log in, we'll have to share the screen.
No,
For the presentation, I have to share the screen. Or
yeah.
you can do that.
Need your laptop. It because of the room?
Actually,
Log No, I can leave and then join.
now it did not happen because we were logged in with two, I think.
Okay.
Maura, can you hear my voice now?
Yes, I can hear you, but can you tell me who would be the host?
So you make me and Bhavna both host.
You all both are co-host. I have to make you the host?
Yeah, you can make me the host. Bhavna.
Okay, sure. Okay, I'll leave the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. The meeting will start at 4, so you guys can, can keep your on mute or whatever it is.
या हाय जिग्नेश भाई, कैसे
Hi Gopal, how are you?
हो? गुड गुड गुड. सो ऑल सेट. आई मीन आई हैव टोल्ड प्रियंका टू मेक यू.
Yeah, I think she's already made me the host.
ओके, परफेक्ट परफेक्ट. सो यू वांट मी टू स्टार्ट द इंट्रोडक्शन और यू कैन टेक इट ओवर राइट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग लाइक लास्ट टाइम वन ऑफ योर कलीग्स डिड.
हाँ गोपाल, एक बार आप इंट्रोड्यूस कर दो एंड देन वी विल स्टार्ट द सेशन।
तो बेसिकली
No, but it's still to start. We are waiting
yeah,
for...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's 4 o'clock. So I introduce Mr. Ved, Mr. Jagdeep and yourself, right?
Yeah,
what,
please.
What
yes.
you have mentioned. The...
And okay. Also on the call with me is Nivedita. She's our she's our brand head.
Okay.
She looks after the brands and communication.
Miss Nivedita, right?
Yes,
yes.
Nivedita.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks. So I hand over to Mr. Ved.
Yeah, you give it to Ved. So Ved will, as usual, Ved will start with the presentation first. And then
understood.
Gradually, then we'll take it.
So we'll wait till 4 p.m. Then we'll start.
Yeah, we'll wait till 4. Take me again. Tell them the number of slides.
We are recording this call, huh, Jinesh bhai?
Yeah, that will be needed any which way.
Because last time I think we missed out on this, I guess.
Waiting.
Yeah.
What's up? So lots of people already on call, which is great.
Yes. Yes.
That's wonderful. Jeet, I'm always so happy to see you here. Thank you for sort of being there in every call.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Even we are excited to connect you quarterly. So that's been our pleasure.
Wonderful. Hi, Nivi.
Hi.
Jignesh bhai, Jagdeep joining? Aapka mute hai.
Yes, he's joined.
Okay, he's joined already. Can't see his name. Okay, please no, joining from his office. Okay.
Yes, some other office. Yes, Gopal, we are here. Jagdeep Jay has also joined. And Veer is also.
So can start. Can we start?
Yes, we can start.
Yeah. We're bang on time. Great.
Okay. Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of Yash Pakka Limited. From the management, we have Mr. Ved Krishna, Vice Chairman, Mr. Jagdeep Hira, Managing Director, Mr. Jignesh Shah, CFO, and Ms. Nivedita, Brand Head for Yash Pakka. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ved for his opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Namaskar, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this call, as always. We are super excited to hear from you, to get guidance from all of you, and to learn from you. So as we start, I think it's important to look at what we are here for. So Jignesh Bhai, can you put it on the slideshow mode, please? Yeah, let's move ahead. Yeah, so I think it's important for us to keep reiterating what we are doing here in order for our investors, those who put their trust and their money in us, to really know what the company is about. Can we move to the next slide, please? So the basic idea for Yash Pakka is to leave the earth cleaner. And our vehicle is that of utilizing and building compostable packaging in a significant scale and providing that for different usages. The three broad domains we look at, we will look at the ideas that we are working towards in the next few slides. Next slide, please. So as you can see, I think most of you have been in various calls from us. We have been growing from 1981 and we've been moving into different projects over time. And, we are today at a paper capacity of 40,000 odd tons. We are making molded products. And we are building towards more and more innovative products as we go forward. Next slide, please. Next, please. So this is, I think, what we are looking at. And we are reiterating this again and again, both internally and externally. All our thoughts, processes, and plans are centered on this idea that, of course, we are growing towards an even longer vision. Internally, we also look at the next 25 years. And then we are looking at shorter term visions, which is the goal for 2025, that how do we grow from a 300 odd crore turnover to a 1300 or 1400 crore turnover, from the current profitability to a profitability of over 240 odd crores. And there is a significant progress that is happening in all these directions. And the three product lines that we are working towards is finding replacements for non-compostable or fossil fuel-based bags, working towards more provision of molded products, which is a replacement for styrofoam or polystyrene. And the third is compostable flexible packaging, which is a domain we've been working at for a while. And we are quite confident of launching commercial products soon in this domain as well. Next, please. Jignesh Bhai, next, please. Yeah. So we have been, as I said, you know, there have been numerous areas which we have been focusing on, and I'd like to update you on these domains. We discussed in our last call that we have just established another 100% subsidiary called Pakka Incorporated, which is based out of Portland in US. The main idea for this is, of course, business growth, collaborations, innovations, and investments. So those are the broad four objectives of the company. We have started hiring people. We have already got the admin head in place. We are now hiring our business development team. We are looking at hiring the collaboration side, which is a platform that we are building. And the idea is to build more and more towards R&D and new products. We are also looking at numerous possibilities across the globe for tie-ups, as well as our own centers for innovation, because that is what will take us ahead. One thing that has come up time and again in our calls and in your emails to us is this whole domain of promoters pledge release. So of course, just to reiterate, any pledge that has been made to the bankers from the promoters is basically in lieu of loans given to the company. There have been no personal loans or any other funds that have been taken, mainly because the company grew from a very small balance sheet to relatively bigger in terms of our size. Bankers wanted more collaterals, and the only way they would give loans was through pledging of personal shares. But now we are in the midst of almost paying back our entire long-term loans, which is also a very welcome development. And of course, based on that, by the end of the year, we are expecting a complete release of the pledged shares. The other aspect which has come up time and again, and has been a huge concern for us also, we have taken a massive leap of faith in getting into what we call the molded products business or the tableware business. Here, we've taken a big hit. We were expecting that by this year, we would be quite profitable. Of course, nobody had perceived the COVID impact. And here, we took a big hit, mainly because all the restaurants got shut. We were mostly focused on the quick service restaurant space. But now, again, you know, there is significant growth happening. The markets are opening up. We are getting a lot of inquiries even for exports. So that's another domain we are looking at. We have also looked at the possibility of going asset light here, utilizing our pulp, outsourcing some production as the numerous production sites that have come up. And we will build this business significantly. We call this the compostables business. And this is going to be a huge area of focus. And we are quite confident that in the coming times, this will be a huge contributor as well as wealth generator. The other is, of course, the other aspect which has come up is the merger between the subsidiary, the company that we had formed called Yash Compostables for marketing. This has been going on. The NCLT meeting is done. The filing has been completed, and we are expecting the merger approval by December 2021. And this also got significantly delayed owing to COVID. The courts were shut, and then they were taking a little longer than they would have because of the backlogs. But this is pretty much in place. Internally, we have started operating as a singular company and as a division of PACA. So Compostables will remain a complete division. We will utilize the strength of the marketing that has been developed, and we will treat it as an internal division. There is, of course, there has been a rethought on the expansion project. We had a few questions last time on this. We had projected a 250 to 300 crore project. We have been, and again, because of COVID, we realized that we don't want to invest these kind of funds without having seen the suppliers and the existing setups. So based on that, we have been having a rethink on the expansion. We will be expanding significantly because we are bound to meet the numbers that we are projecting. And that will come mainly through a huge expansion project. But that is still under development. And I'm sure by the time we meet next time, we will be able to give you more concrete ideas on the exact expansion plan that we have in place. Next slide, please. Can we have the next slide, please?
Ignashwar, it's not coming up. I think sharing has been stopped. Can you reach it? Yeah. Now it's there.
Yeah. So no, these are the next slides are about the business performance.
Okay. So I'm just going to give a comment a little bit more on the innovations, and then Jagdeep can take over for the business performance. So the other side which we've been investing heavily and working towards is strength in innovation. We are looking at strengthening our team at present. Of course, the team is working in various directions. The first is how do we create a stronger bag solution? The other is the flexible packaging, as I was talking about. We are working with some global leaders now towards building better solutions. We are also looking at creating more value-added products from our waste, which are some of the very innovative products that will see the commercial side in the next 6 months, I would say. We'll see a commercial impact by the next financial year. So we're looking forward to that. I hand over to Jagdeep to talk about the performance piece.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. If you see on the financial of Yash Packer as consolidated overall, including paper, pulp and paper and molded product business. So it's from the previous quarter, it's 50% up from last year same, though we will not be considering it last year as a benchmark. But from last quarter, if you see, it's 15% above last quarter. Next slide, please. So paper revenue has gone up by 14%. And similarly, there's a double the growth in molded. Next slide, please. So we see molded. Molded was, again, not so doing well due to COVID. And this quarter is almost, if you see the quarter, is almost double the previous quarter. So similarly, there is a ramp up of efficiency improvement in pulp and paper, which has gone up by almost 5% than the previous quarter. And we hope to see a quantum jump in the coming quarters as well. So on molded production, there's again almost 9-7% jump from the last quarter, wherein we see much greater efficiency, which has been a concern over the past few years. So the team has been doing a wonderful job, and we see a quantum jump as well in the molded, where we see a major inefficiencies lying in the system. But hopefully, we'll overcome all those efficiencies, and at least a threshold will be in the next quarter. So if you see Q2 performance highlight, so it has been the highest ever quarter, last quarter, which was 14.92 CR, as against last quarter of 14.7, first quarter. Standalone revenue generation, if you see, is 71.36 crores, which is already there on the public portal. 71% growth over last quarter, last year, same quarter, quarter over quarter. Current ratio has been improved from 1.14 to 1.35. So I'll hand over to Jignesh Bhai to just go through the financials. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's been a pleasure to have so many people from the investor side, and I've been talking to a few of you quite frequently, and we have always been wanting that more and more people come and attend the calls and know about your company. So I would like to update one thing about the results for this quarter. Is this quarter we have also used, this is a standalone financial statement, but we have also started consolidating the financial statements for the Yash Packa Incorporated, which is now a Packa Incorporated. Of course, in this quarter, there is no substantial transaction which has happened, only a small amount of cost that has come. Otherwise, there is no cost which has come. So, but from the next quarters onwards, you will get a consolidated financial results for both the entities, and that would we would also present in the investors call the transaction that has happened at the US entity. For this quarter, we did a turnover of 71.36 crore as against the 61.91 in the previous quarter, and considerably high as compared to the previous quarter of the previous year, 41.36. If you look at EBITDA, if you look at the PBT margin, is around 14.91 crore, and as already explained by Jagdeep ji, this is the highest ever profit achieved by Yash Packa in so many years. So that that gives us a lot of confidence, and that also gives us a lot of, you know, a future vision becomes more clearer that we are on the right path. And we, so, you know, someone asked a question last quarter that, you know, is the profit that was, you know, last year also, last quarter also, we did a exceptional profit, and people are asking whether this is sustainable or not. Now we can very confidently say that the profit and margin that we are now moving towards that goal of, you know, achieving pre-COVID numbers and surpassing the pre-COVID numbers end of this year. But, you know, these are all based on the current situation, and we hope that the situation, you know, remains similar. So, you know, these are the basic numbers. You know, our comprehensive income is at 10.09 crore. And for the entire half year, we have done a total net profit after all taxes at around 20 crore. If you look at the segment-wise reports, you will see that out of 71 crore, 65 crore still comes from our paper business, and remaining 6 crore comes from the molded business. But if you compare it to the previous quarter, you know, it has increased from a 3 crore to 6 crore. So that itself shows the, you know, the effort that we have put in the last couple of months into this compostable or the molded business that is now, you know, showing us the results. The segmental revenue also, if you look at our profitability, profit before tax is at around 15.97 crore. And, you know, after removing the losses in the molded side, around 66 lakhs, we come to a 14.91. If you look at our losses in the molded business has gone down. So because of the turnover increase and because of the, you know, efficiencies being achieved, we are moving slowly towards that positive trend in the molded business. And that's a really a positive sign. These are the segment assets and segment liabilities and capital employed. So these are some of the basic financial numbers. You have all the results in the, you know, already uploaded on the system. I think with this, we would like to close the presentation and ask investors to share their questions on the chat board. Nivedita would do the monitoring of the questions, and one by one, you know, we'll take the questions and we'll answer them. Hello. So if someone, Nivedita, hand it over to you.
Yeah. So once again, welcome all of you. Thank you, Ved, Jagdish, and Jagdish. So what we'll do is, being considerate of everyone's time, we'll limit to 2 questions per person, at least initially. And if we have more time, we can circle back to you. And you can write your questions in the chat box, and then we'll call out your name and you can unmute yourself and ask your question. So Vishal, you can go ahead. Please unmute yourself and you can ask your
question. Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, this question is for Jignesh Bhai. This is my first question. I see the present top line is about 280 crores and profits are roughly around 40 crores. Margins approximately about 15%. And by 2025, we are projecting sales, our top lines of 1360 crores. That's 13.6 billion. And we are looking at profits of 240 crores. So without any fixed plans, I would like to understand how are we going to achieve these figures? And, you know, consistently, Chuck has been in losses. So how do we achieve these figures by 2025? And
Jignesh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead. Then I'll ask my second question.
Yeah, Jignesh Bhai, can I tackle that one, please?
Yeah, please.
Okay, Vishal, thank you. Wonderful question. Absolutely, you're totally right. I don't think we can achieve the aims by way of no fresh infusion and expansion, because the current site we produce, like for the paper, we are already at over 100% capacity utilization. For the molded products, we are at about 60%, and okay, even if we are at least 40%, that will not that's. So we are not at all planning to stick to the current site for achieving that goal. There is a lot of plans in place for expansion, which we'll be doing. And I also mentioned while I was giving the presentation that there is a significant plan that is being executed right now for going asset light, utilizing our pulp, utilizing other manufacturing sites, and building a portfolio from that. So that is also something that we are looking at. We do remain not just confident. It's not just about, a non-planned confidence. There is a significant plan that is in place to achieve the 2025 goals and beyond. 2025 is just one step that we have mentioned to the investors. The whole organization is driven by a singular fact and a singular thought that, how do we leave the earth cleaner? And the products that we work on are in that domain. And of course, we realize in order to really make an impact, there has to be size. And based on that, there is significant plans going forward. And we will be announcing them as they get to the place where we can be more public with it. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. And my second question was, I am from Mumbai. So I could see chak everywhere. As in, if I go to fine dine restaurants, you're being served in chak products. If you go to the airports, you've been served in chak products. So, the product visibility is there. So why are we not able to capitalize on it? Or are we late in capitalizing the same? Because it's been almost, we launched chak around April 2018. So it's been about 14 quarters right now.
Yeah. I think, again, thank you. That's the wonderful question. And we have had that question a few times on our call. And it's been a huge cause of worry for us as well. The main issue that we have faced so far, and Jagdeep mentioned it, is in terms of efficiencies that we have had internally. So this is a technology which we didn't know that much about. We invested in certain kinds of machines with the best of our knowledge. But the machines, as we had thought they would have a significant certain sort of output, but they did not. And it has taken a long time to stabilize that. That's the main factor. The second is, of course, the market is still opening out. Nivedita, can I just ask you to mute people who are unmuted, because there's a lot of background sound. I think somebody's unmuted. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically what has happened is that the market is still opening up for products like this. Of course, statutory norms make a lot of impact here, but the implementation of those statutory norms is also essential. So the people are still sort of opening up to a more compostable product. So can I just ask people to mute, please? I think Nivedita is also trying. Mukesh Sehgalji, can you mute, please? Yeah, great, thank you. I'm glad that you're at least, it's music to our ears when you say that you are seeing more and more of chak, and I'm definitely hoping that you'll see more in going forward. We also were very, very India-centric in our approach. Now we are realizing that we need to, as our capacities are growing, we are also realizing that we cannot just be India-centric. So what we've started doing is two broad directions. We are opening ourselves to producing products as OEMs for others. And there's a lot of inquiry that is coming in, especially with the US-China kind of imbalance right now. The other thing which we are doing is launching our own product, as we talked about our whole foray into Paca Incorporated in the US. Part of that reason is to build our own brand there. So that is something that we are trying to build towards as well. So I think in the coming times, there is going to be a different traction. At least we are working very hard towards it. There is a lot of people. I don't think we were late in the game. We were one of the earliest. In fact, I would say we were the earliest structured player. There are more people coming in, but we definitely look at everybody coming in more as a collaborator than competition. There is a lot of big market out there. Ultimately, India has 1.4 billion people. They eat 3 meals a day. 4.2 billion meals, 120 billion meals a month. That is the overall market size. So that's the potential. And we can convert all of that going forward. So, there is no dearth of market. The effort will be in us being able to capture as much as we can of the market. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishal. Thank you, Vishal, for your questions. We'll move to Shreyas now. Shreyas, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
thank you for providing me with the opportunity. So I would like to ask, when can we see Yash Pakka listing itself with NSE, as it's only listed with BSE? The volumes gets, you know, quite low, as well as, you know, people generally like to have a share listed on both, rather when they see only on BSE, they might feel that it's something suspicious, though it's not, but it is, you know, kind of a feeling that it gives to other people, not me. Like, you know, I have a good amount of shares in your company. Jignesh sir obviously know the Anuka Industries. He knows very well, I guess. So that's the first question I would like. And when can we also see the promoter in, you know, increasing their holdings? So one thing that I like, that you know, you're always confident, and I always see, whenever I see your con calls, you are always interested in, you know, answering the questions yourself. So that's a thing which I like about the company, which I like, that yes, being the owner, you are quite interested in, you know, answering the questions, and you are not like, you know, hiding with the questions and all. So this was the main thing. And also for the FY25, we see, you know, a lot of, you know, a big target. So what will be the capex, or how can we see the, you know, the starting of the commercial production? When will we see that? Or, you know, getting in another new inclusion of cash, and, you know, getting into, you know, again, going with the raising of the money, will that be an issue? Will it affect the share too much and all? Because we are seeing it's continuously, you know, stable at one point. Though the company has given, I'm invested in the company from 2014. So I see the company growing from 10 rupees to, you know, 200 rupees. Right now it's trading at 80. So when can we see that also growing? It's like something that, because every time it goes, it's come down, you know, it's also not surviving at one stage. So what are the plans and all?
So I'll take the questions. Yeah. So Shreyas, first of all, a lot of questions in one question. So we'll try to answer them. So first one about NSE listing. So we have a plan to do NSE listing. Only thing is, since we are in the process of merger, we have been advised by NSE to have that process completed of merger. Okay. Once that process gets completed, then it would make sense for NSE to consider our application. Otherwise, we have to redo the entire application for the merger process for NSE as well. So till the time the merger gets completed, which we are targeting to get completed by end of, you know, this financial year, then we will go for an NSE listing. And, you know, because then, you know, the entire process otherwise has to be redo. So we have to apply to NSE first, NSE goes to SEBI, and then the whole process starts again.
So in the
next two advisors,
in the next two quarters, we can see, you know, Yash Pakka getting listed in NSE, definitely.
So we should keep a target of March, but we will try to do it as soon as we get an order for the...
I said two quarters from here.
Yeah, two quarters from here.
And so one more thing about the merger that you said. What can we see in the merger? Like we are no clue what Yash Compositable exactly is, or how its balance sheet is. Is the company Yash Compositable in loss or in profit? So what can we know about that company, about the merger too?
I would request you to, you know, to go through the entire set of documents which were sent at the time of merger. But Yash Compositable, I will tell you about the business. So Yash Compositable is a company which was into marketing of the tableware products. They have, you know, quite a good market study which has been done. They have developed an entire distribution network and a supply chain system around this whole business. Because Yash Paper was always into a paper which was mostly a B2B, whereas here it is a B2B2C segment. So the entire network has been Yash Compositable. The reason why this merger has been done is, one, to get the entire production and marketing being tied up on end-to-end. So all the synergies from a production, from a marketing, everything is flowing into the business. And the compostable business, the tableware business, goes to the next level. So when the marketing and manufacturing both are hand-in-hand, you see the performance totally different. So that was the whole idea of that merger being taken care of, being done.
So what about...
Sorry, yeah, please go ahead.
So what about promoter increasing their holdings?
So when we are doing, as explained by Ved, we are doing, various projects we'll be doing. We will also have to have, you know, investments which is going into the projects. So at an appropriate time, there would be infusion of funds coming in by way of an equity. So, you know, as of now, we can't say that when we will do, but that is always on the card to have the equity part from the promoter side or from the promoter group, you know, going up. Because as you can see, you know, the promoters are very well connected in the business, and that's, you know, that's the entire business is behind the, you know, that sustainability. So that's very close to Ved's heart. And that's why, you know, he is very close to the business. So we want to take it forward. You know, they would like to do it, but that would happen gradually as and when the opportunity comes for the industry.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that just to sort of, first of all, thank you for your compliments. That's very kind of you. Yeah, but we are one amazing team. So, you know, so of course, we handle responsibilities as need be. But yeah, just to add to what Jignesh Bhai is saying, basically the idea is to grow significantly. And you had also asked about expansion. There is a significant plan that we are working on. But we don't want to really, like, you know, like, we want to be really ready when we talk about it. It should not be a half flushed plan. There is, of course, that whole angle of 2025 goal. So we are sort of working backwards from there. You know, Jagdeep and the team have been burning midnight oil, working on certain plans. And I think we should be able to ready. We will be probably ready to talk about it next quarter. We are quite close to closing the whole idea and focusing and building towards it. And as Jignesh Bhai said, you know, there will be a significant equity infusion, and we will definitely look at you know, funding from our side as well as you know, other equity players as well as debt going forward. The good thing is that we are getting very close to being long-term debt-free, and going forward, we are expecting us to become. And I think that will be, I think as investors, you would appreciate that, you know, after years, we would soon be long-term debt-free. There'll only be working capital debt, which helps the company become stronger in terms of our balance sheet. And then we can go ahead and move forward. Nivi, you can move on.
So where do you see the company and yourself in 2030, maybe? Because 2025, you have a target. So where do you see yourself and as well as the company in the year 2030? Where can we see that?
Since you've asked, I don't think Nivedita would have allowed this. But since you've asked, I'm going to answer. There are significant plans. Ultimately, you know, the overall objective is to leave the earth cleaner through compostable packaging. And of course, when we look at that, there has to be very significant scale, not just significant scale. So we are looking at constant scaling. But in today's volatile world, it is, I think, foolish in a way to build too many plans. We can build certain 2025. Let's achieve that. And once we achieve that, you will also have more confidence in us. So let us first achieve
target
that,
achieving.
And then. Yeah, sorry.
So can we see that 2025 target will be achieved from this level, from the levels that you are seeing the company at?
I saw your
TEDx also. It was quite interesting.
I don't think as a team we have any doubt. Rest, of course, we will see. But I would also request you to stop the question so that others can ask and Nivedita can move forward. But I'm sure if there's something left, we'll get back to you once we have answered everybody's question.
Sure.
Then you can.
Thank you. So as an organization, we believe in diversity. So I think we will follow that in the questions as well.
Sure.
So Shreyas, thank you for your questions. Thank you for unmuting yourself. I really request all of you we would want to answer as many questions as possible. So stick to two questions and we'll definitely come back to you once most of the questions have been answered. We'll circle back. Samir, please go ahead. Samir, are you here? Okay, so I think we'll move ahead. Manali, you have two questions. Please unmute yourself and you can ask your question.
Yeah, hi. So my first question is that when I look at your presentation, so the revenue number for paper is 57 crores and your segmental result, paper and pulp, is approximately 65 crores. So the difference of 8 crore, does it come from pulp alone?
Yeah, it comes from the other other segments. It includes paper and the other ancillary products.
So,
Manali, just to make it more clear, Jignesh Bhai hasn't spelled it out. Spell it out. We do numerous other things. We do pulp, as you mentioned. We sell market pulp. We also make egg trays out of our waste, and we make pith pellets also out of our waste. So those are the three broad, bigger areas which contribute to that 8 crores.
Okay. Could you provide the volume numbers for them?
We can send it to you.
Yeah, we can. I don't think offhand we would know. Maybe Jagdeep knows. Jagdeep normally has these things in his tips. Jagdeep, do you remember the pulp and egg tray?
So, volume on the production level, if we this was around 180 tons of egg trays in last quarter. And almost, if we see revenue would approximately be around 6 CR. Rest 2 CR comes from pith pellet. So these two products are from the backward integration. Whatever solid waste we generate during processing of raw material, these two products come out of that solid waste.
Okay. And one more thing, just in relation to the pulp, what would be the input-output ratio for pulp to your paper and to the molded products?
Yeah, this goes for different, because we have different category of different segments going into different end use, but on an average it comes out 850 kgs butter of paper.
850, sorry, could you come again?
850 kgs butter of paper.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good. My second question is, how much of the molded capacity are we operating at? So what I knew is that we have certain lines that we are not operating, and based on those other lines is what I understand is operating at 100% capacity. So what is the portion that is not running right now?
So for the second quarter, Manali, everything is up in the air. Everything is running well. Paper has been doing almost at 100% efficiency levels. And molded, again, across plant, we are at around 60% of efficiencies.
No, sorry. So with molded capacity, you have certain lines which are not operating, or
no, in,
all
in
of
second,
them?
Yeah, in second quarter, all the lines are operating.
All the lines are operating.
In first quarter, we did shut some of our lines.
Okay.
The product was not in huge demand, but in second quarter, they are running.
So is it
and
expected?
Now, Manali, we are also adding another 8 lines. I think next quarter onwards. Not this quarter, they'll start. So next quarter onwards, I think we will be seeing a significant upside on the capacity utilization as well as capacity addition. So that will also get impacted by next quarter.
So is it correct for me to say that the 11 crore expenditure in the fixed assets is for the molded lines that we just spoke about?
So, Manali, I would answer that. So, you know, the fixed asset that you see now is probably some of the items which were procured in the previous quarters and got capitalized. The capitalization of these machines you will be able to see in the next quarter.
Okay. And so just one. Sorry?
That will fall in last quarter.
Okay, got it.
Direction still has to take.
Okay. And just one more thing. The margin money that is there for 6 crore that I can see in the cash flow, what is that?
That was the advance paid for these machines procurement from China.
China.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manali. Thank you. Arjun, you can...
Manali, thank you for your super pointed questions. Love it. Thank you. Thank you for studying
you.
It so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Manali. Archan, you can go next.
Yeah. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. So, can you give me the sales number for this quarter in tons for the paper as well as the molded products? The sales number in tons?
For paper, Archan, it's almost the same. There's no stock increase as such.
Okay.
I'm not sure on the exact number of molded, but almost the same. Though we have reduced some stocks from the first quarter ending.
Okay, so have there been any increase in the NSR due to which our sales in crores have increased?
Not in the second quarter.
So the NSR has remained more or less similar to the first
More
quarter.
or less same. It might reflect because of our product mix change, but it was more or less same.
Okay, got it. And would it be possible to provide the closing stock for the finished goods in terms of tons?
Sure, we can get you post this conference call.
Sure. Oh, okay. So my another question was like it was quite evident from the past few years that our main revenue driving segment has been paper, right? It has been a cash cow for us. It has been giving all the revenue and the profit. So why aren't we investing aggressively in that? Like in our goal also, we are having the projection of doubling it in 5 years. And even in the last presentation, you told that you were planning to enhance it to 63,000 tons. So why aren't we looking more aggressively on the paper compared to the molded when it is when it is driving the revenue and the profit?
Yeah, good question. But again, because of COVID, off and on coming in, we have a bit slowed down. We announced a project earlier, but because of non-movement of team, look forward for the technology coming up and the new technologies available. We have uphold this project, but soon, later this quarter, we'll be announcing a project coming in. So we are working on it, and we hope to see that 2025 targets, as asked by everyone, we meet those targets.
Achan, I think what you've asked is music to Jagdeep's ears. He is basically in his heart, he's a fundamental paper maker. So
Right, right.
that is what he loves, and that is what he does. And you're totally right, absolutely. And we are the bigger investment is all towards paper. Actually, the only thing is sometimes we don't see it like paper. We see it either like paper for bags or we see it as flexible packaging. So most of the work Jagdeep and the team are doing now is to get into more and more specialized segment that can solve a bigger challenge. The biggest challenge we see today in the globe, in the world today, from our perspective, from a packaging perspective, is that of flexible packaging, which is multi-layered bags, things that you use every day, like potato chip bags or bag-in-box application, like you have aluminum layers, plastic layers, paper layers. So we have been working on solving that. So a lot of the investment that Jagdeep and the team are going to be doing in the future is to build solutions towards that. Our innovation has been working for the last 8 years, focused on that domain, looking at numerous lab scale solutions, also looking at pilot scale solutions. Even last 2 years back, we launched a pilot product for that. And yes, we are looking at building on that product going forward. A lot of the production going forward, I would say the capacity addition that we are talking about is almost 70% of flexible packaging products, which could be grease resistant kind of papers. The rest is more or less pulp and molded products. So, but you're absolutely right. We are going to remain focused on paper, but we won't call it paper because ultimately paper on its own is a raw material. It is an application that we are building for. So we'll try and build towards that focused application. The focus for paper is bags or flexible packaging. And those are the two domains Jagdeep and the team are building towards. But thank you for that question.
Right. So just the last thing, the glassine paper and the greaseproof paper, which have been mentioned in the presentation, those two are for the compostable packaging, both of them.
Those are all for towards flexible packaging, basically.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Arjun. Thank you. We have Shailesh next. Shailesh, you've written your question. Do you want me to read it out or would you unmute yourself and read it yourself?
Yeah, hi team, Yash Pakka, and specifically Mr. Ved and all the team, congratulations for such a lovely quarter. You guys have been doing a lovely job with sustainability and everything. So my question to you all is, what are the other better alternatives other than glass and so, with more tensile and bursting strength and natural fibers that you people are considering for the future, other than already the products you've been using?
Shailesh, can you repeat that? Your voice is a little bit. Can you just go a little slower so that we can partially sort of it's breaking. So yeah, please just repeat it a little slower. Thank you.
So my question to you all, that what are the other better alternatives compared to more tensile and bursting strength in natural fibers that you people are considering for your 2025 vision or 2030 vision in compostable packaging segment?
Sure. Yeah. I think brilliant question again. Thank you so much. So when we do innovations, it's really important to remain focused. As far as 2025 is concerned, we are 100% focused on the bagasse fiber. We are not even looking here and there because, again, you know, every fiber has its own challenges. Every fiber has its own technology. Every fiber needs a certain amount of experience. So we do have our part of our innovation constantly focus on developing and working on new fibers. But as far as the commercialization goes, and especially for the next 3 years, we feel there is a lot to be done on the bagasse fiber itself. And all the exploration that Jagdeep's team is doing is all for looking for sites where we can build on bagasse. So it's going to be 100% focused on bagasse. The properties that bagasse brings in is fundamentally suited to the grades that we talked about in the last question, which is to do with flexible packaging, where you need a very dense sheet. You don't need very porous sheets because it has to protect from air and moisture. So we are basically looking at building products from that. Again, molded products are very good from that fiber again. So those are the two lines that we are focusing on: flexible packaging.
You have gone on mute, Mr. Veed. Sorry, the last.
Oh, sorry. When did I? Did I? Was I muted all through? Or
the last.
Nivedita, when did I get last bit? Okay. So the only thing that we are focused on is bagasse, and the properties that we seek in the products that we are looking to build are all very suitable to the bagasse fiber. So we are focused on that. We will, for the 2025 goal, we will remain only focused on bagasse for now.
Got it. And one more question I have for you all, that do you wish to increase the pulping capacity? Maybe you will be for some processing of other natural fibers. Do you wish to increase that capacity for yours? You already have a good pulping technology for bagasse. So any other natural fibers, do you wish to invest in that particular segment as well?
Jagdeep?
So, Sareship, right now we are only focused and we have, to some extent, have nurture bagasse fiber as a raw material. But as I can see from your idea, it's a hemp. I think you are looking for some other alternate fiber. So as of now, we are in the vicinity where availability of bagasse is there. And we look for other sources also for bagasse only. Not diverting our focus. But yes, in case something comes up, we are open for that as well. But focus remains as bagasse.
Got it. But my only advice, I don't want to give you advice, but my only suggestion would be that there are other natural fibers also coming into the world with more better strength part or more better alternate. Might be with by mixing or blending something, if Yash Pakka can take out some proprietary technology or mixing by something, that would be great.
Yeah,
I agree. There'll be a certain time for it. For now, like Jagdeep also mentioned, focus is very important in business. And there is a lot to be done with bagasse as well. I will not get into the nitty-gritty of it, but at the molecular level, it's a very interesting cellulose and sugar molecule. So we are looking at numerous possibilities there. We understand different fibers. One of the things that we are focused on is to use only waste fiber. So that is something that we want to... Two things we keep focused on in our R&D and research. Agricultural waste and compostable packaging. Those two are fixed. We don't divert ourselves from that. Within that, you're right. We also look for other fibers. But that will come in the future. For now, 2025, bagasse.
Got it. Thank you and all the best, team. Thank you,
Shailesh. Kitesh, you can go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hi, all. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
So my question is regarding, since you are depledging the shares and all, so how will the future expansion be funded? Like, are you looking for equity dilution or looking at a strategic partner? Like, how will that big expansion go about in terms of finance?
Jignesh bhai, do you want to handle? You're muted. Jignesh bhai, muted off.
Sorry, I was on mute. So, Kitesh, thank you for the question. Basically, you know, unpledging of the shares would happen in near future, where we would, you know, any which ways with the bankers we have been negotiating, that, you know, we have fulfilled our commitment to the extent of 90-95%. And we may think of even, you know, completing the entire commitment in terms of the term loan. We'll unpledge the shares. The plan is that after unpledging of the shares, we would also go for, you know, repaying the long-term debts. We would also go for some, you know, upgrading in terms of our current rating, which would help us to have better funding when it comes to the new project. So, you know, we would get better terms with the bankers. So, you know, we are at BBB now, and we may think of entering into the A segment. So that's one thing which is on the card. So moment we have that, we will have a better terms with the bankers. So for the next expansion project, again, it would be a mix of debt and equity. That would remain still a higher portion. Once we have, you know, enough cash flows, probably in the next phase of expansion, probably the equity side would still increase, or the internal accrual will still increase. But as of now, this would, you know, the funding would come from, again, debt.
Yeah. So that's the thought process, but the world is in a very interesting place. People have a lot of ESG funds right now, so we remain open to a lot of exploration. You know, we are approached many times from very interesting global players because they want to infuse capital into the ESG space. We are in the middle of COP26, and there is a lot of focus on climate change. A big part of it is avoiding usage of fossil based products, which should be the segment we play in. So we are also hoping that there will be more interesting play there. And we don't know. Ultimately, we are all in service of the business. So if it needs us to dilute our shareholding, we will do that. If it needs us to not dilute our shareholding, we will also do that. Everything that will be done will be in service of our core vision, which is to, you know, leave the earth cleaner. And for that, build a significant size business. So the idea is to grow the pie rather than look at what is required in terms of dilution or no dilution at the right time and the right valuation, of course, looking at all the prospects there. But yeah, there's a lot of exploration that is on, and a lot of possibilities keep opening up in today's world. But as Jignesh bhai said, the current state is equity and debt. But it may change to entirely equity. It may change to somebody infusing a very long-term patient capital. And I don't know. So that is the question. But that is the situation. But I think by next quarter, we'll know exactly what the project is. And that's when we will start raising the capital. So I think it'll be a better discussion next quarter, because we'll not be giving you theory. And I don't think you want theory. So I think next quarter, we'll be better. Nivedita.
Yeah, another question. Just one more. So just asking, going forward, what will be the break-even point of the molded product segment? Like, at what sales or capital utilization will you're expecting that division to go profitable? Hello,
Jagdeep, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah. So on the efficiency levels, the break-even is around 65%, and if you see quarter on quarter, around 5 crore sales will be a break even for us on molded products.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I think Jignesh bhai managed to log himself out. So let me just check what the next question is, and I'll request.
No, we are here.
Oh, you're there. Sorry, I don't know. So screen you. Okay, sorry.
The network was a little choppy here. We're sorry about that. But yeah, I think we can go ahead with the next question. Just one second. Mudit, you can go ahead. Kitesh, hello. Thank you for that question.
Hello, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so wait, sir. I had one question. There were change in directors very frequently. Like Himanshu Kapoor was appointed in 2017, resigned in 2017. Mr. UUV Ravikant appointed in 2019, resigned in 2019. Manoj Kumar Maurya appointed 2020, resigned 2020. Nitika Suryavanshi appointed in 2019, resigned 2020. Anil Kumar Gupta, I think he resigned in 2019. What was the case? Why are the directors resigning so frequently? And most of them are CFO. Why is the case?
Yeah, so they're not directors, number one. There is, I think, the first, who was the first person you mentioned? I think one
Himanshu
person.
Kapoor.
Yeah, Himanshu was used to be our auditor, and he's still a big advisor to the in the company. But we appointed him without realizing that there is a longer cooling off period, is what we realized. But he is an integral part of the organization in terms of guiding us and in terms of building. So he remains intact. The other was a long struggle for finding the right CFO. And of course, you have Jignesh Bhai now. And I hope that he will be building the company going forward. So in that process, you see about four people changing. Correct. Within that, there is nobody going out of the organization. So what happened was that Ravikant, Manoj, Anil were all part of the organization. And between Nitika came, and Nitika was the only aberration where she came in. But she had some health issues and she had to resign. So that was a setback for us. Wonderful person, no issues. We remain good friends even now. But she had to resign. The rest of the people, we had to sort of request them to handle the opportunity, handle the role of the CFO. But again, different situations kept coming up. Manoj is our commercial head even today. So Manoj was somebody that suddenly we had a lot of pressure on the commercial side. So Manoj had to start looking at the commercial side again. Anil retired from the company. So Anil, ultimately, we do ensure that everybody retires at the right time. So because of that, he had to sort of leave. However, we're very stable now. And I think I would look to a more stable future rather than the past. We have struggled with the CFOs, particularly, I think it has been a little bit of a bigger struggle because of our location. And since we are based in Ayodhya and we wanted our office to be there, that became a big struggle. Now Jignesh Bhai splits his time between Mumbai and Ayodhya. So I think that gives him a little more stability because he can spend half the time in Ayodhya, half the time in Mumbai. And we've realized, I think COVID has also made us all realize that yes, remote work is possible. Earlier, we thought, no, CFO has to sit where the headquarters is. So that was one of the challenges that we faced. We, of course, did not ever want to compromise on the quality of talent. Basically, because of that, we sort of had this musical chair business that happened. But we are very proud of our team and we are proud of the longevity of the team. I think if you see the team across the board, we don't have people leaving. You only join Yash Bhai. And you retire from Yash Bhai. So we have, I think our, maybe 80% of our team would be 30 years, would either be serving or would go on for 30 years or something. So that's not a trend in the company overall. And it has been an aberration, the CFO side. And we are much better now.
So quite happy to hear the answer from your side, sir. So we can expect much stable organization in the future, sir?
We've always been stable. CFO was a post that we were not being able to keep stable. Jignesh Bhai has come in and made it very stable again. So we are thankful to him for that. He's extremely capable, sharp, and also very mature because we are a bunch of youngsters doing a lot of very quick innovation and moving, including Jagdeep. In his heart, he's a very young person. So Jignesh Bhai brings a lot of maturity to all of us and ensures that we remain more stable, which helps us grow as a company. So I think we have the right person on board and we definitely look forward to growing with his leadership.
That's so nice to hear, sir. One more question. What are we doing that our competitors are not doing? What are we doing differently?
We will need a day's discussion. So I think at the core, we basically try and... So let me take a step back. Fundamentally, we are wedded to the idea of building better materials. So we don't even really look at what the competition is doing. So if you look at our range of products called Chuck, it's totally different from even now when, you know, there are 30 people who have entered the market. Even now, in terms of quality, if you ask for any feedback from the market, there's a head above in terms of quality, consistency, Also the design aspect. So, you know, so you look at certain products there. When we look at our bag products, again, you know, Jagdeep is here and he doesn't believe in business as usual. So each time we meet Jagdeep, he's come up with another solution. I think he's now selling about 400 to 450 tons only to e-commerce bags, which is a huge segment. And he's developed that product. He and the team have developed that product literally in a month's time. To build a much stronger. We were very troubled when we would get plastic bags during COVID from Amazon and Myntra and places like that. So we said, instead of just sitting back and hoping somebody else will do it, let's do it. And, you know, that's a significant scale. It's over 10% or 15% of our production now, which is huge. There is a lot of segments that we are in that nobody is in. Whether any surgical glove that you use in the country is packed in our product. A lot of these surgical, the syringe bags are ours. So you don't, we don't realize that, but there's a lot of application-based work that we do. All the new things that we're talking about in terms of flexible packaging, in terms of even bags, they are all, we're not really looking at who's doing what, but we are driven by a singular aspect, which is, you know, how do we eliminate non-compostables and bring in more compostables and leave the earth cleaner? That's the fundamental idea. We are happy with having competition in that field. When we look at competition also, we don't look at paper substitutes. When we look at disposables, we look at all disposables. When we look at bags, we look at all substrates. So, you know, so that's the kind of ethos that the company has built. And we have an amazing innovation team. And I think we can call Sagar, who heads our innovation, next time on this call. You guys can meet him directly. And he's something to be reckoned with. A force to be reckoned with. Jagdeep, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, two things where we look market as a growing and sustainable and growing. One is listen to customer, what customer desire. So we always look from the perspective of customer's need rather than pushing as a product in the market. And second is continuous development and innovation. So these two points are the, as you were you call it competition, you call it sustainability and the growth.
Thank you so much, sir. Satisfied with the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mudit. So I think it's 5 p.m., but if you guys allow and want, we can maybe take a couple of more questions.
No, let's carry on. I think last time also we decided that we should answer it. We have once a quarter to discuss with our investors. So happy to have questions. I don't think we are in a deep hurry. But once everybody's question is answered, we should cut. Whoever wants to sort of, you know, in case people don't have time and they want to leave, that's fine.
Yeah, sure. So we next we have Mr. Praveen Sharma. So we have two Praveens. Mr. Praveen Sharma can go. Oh, sorry, I think Jeet is... before Praveen. So, Jeet, you can go ahead with the question.
Yeah, thank you, team. So, first question is, I wanted to understand volatility of earnings for the company. So, I think Mr. Jignesh in his opening remarks, I think he said that, you know, the earnings are quite sustainable. So, I don't want to catch his word sustainable, but I just want to understand the volatility of our earnings with respect to two items of our P&L, that is the top line and the cost sheet. And so I understand that top line is mainly driven by the paper prices. So we want to understand to what extent are the NSRs volatile? I mean, do they go up and down like plus or minus 30%, or they move around in the ranges of 5 to 10%? And similarly, within the cost sheet, your major expenses are power and fuel, which is probably linked to energy prices. And majority of your pulp is coming from bagasse, which again is sugarcane linked. If you could, you know, explain these three items of your P&L with respect to volatility, so that it helps us to project our earnings going forward.
Yeah, Jignesh bhai, can I?
Yeah, please, sir.
Yeah. So first, you talked about the volatility of NSRs or the pricing in paper industry. We are not into a commodity-based writing, printing, or metallico grades. So very much stable on pricing because I would rather rate almost 99% of our product goes in industrial users.
Is this because of our long-term contracts or any of the material is sold on the spot market? or everything is covered under contracts?
We majorly go on to contracts. Our philosophy is to be remain with the given customers or given industrial use. We do not do a spot sale. So these are pretty long-term quarterly based or half yearly based contracts, volume based and pricing based as well. But yes, pricing do change, but not to the extent of other paper industry, if you have that point in mind. Pricing are always linked to, because it has to be a win-win situation for both the parties on the long-term basis. Prices are linked on fuel and raw material prices internationally. So hope I answered the
question. Just to add,
Jeet, I'll add to that. Power and fuel, I think you already know because you've studied the company so well. We don't buy any electricity from outside. So all the electricity is captive. We don't even have a connection with the grid. It's all made from biomass. And the major part of the biomass is rice husks. So it does depend on the rice crop and the usage. So in the last quarter, in fact, this quarter, we are seeing a huge jump in prices, basically because of coal not being available in the country and rice husk being used. But overall, it remains relatively stable because we are in an area where the crop is significant scale. And, you know, we've been buying a certain amount of tonnage and we have linkages at the back. So that's for the power and fuel. So ultimately, it remains relatively stable. Of course, if you have a crisis like now in terms of coal, then, you know, we will also feel the impact of that. And we don't know to what extent that we'll have to see. The risk mitigation is that we use a certain amount of bagasse pith, which is our own waste. And we also use we make about 1.5 megawatts from our own effluent. We burn the solids in the effluent. So those are the two substitutes that we have. The next question you had was around bagasse. So bagasse, again, we try and do long-term tie-ups. The cane crop is lower this year, which will definitely impact the prices. But we enter into Jagdeep is now talking about 10-year contracts. I had never thought that sugar mills will be interested, but that's his sort of push that they are looking at it, you know, looking at a price parity, looking at a certain increase every year and building on top of that.
Tumhi baghitla na hospital?
Somebody is unmuted.
Hospital jangla.
Yeah.
I think Ravi is unmuted. Kuda bhetna na hospital. Yeah, yeah.
One second.
Tumcha assume kare doubt kya apeksha?
Can you mute Ravi?
Maje sugar kadi low hote.
Ha, ha.
Ravi and Mr. Patel.
Nehmi hot nahi.
Ha.
Sudden hote. Tar tyachyasathi
कुठली देता
प्रशांत मिश्रा इज द मॅन
ते काय प्रॉब्लेम नाही आयुर्वेदिकला काय प्रॉब्लेम नाही
प्रशांत जी
ही दोन दिवस
उद्या बंद केला तर आपण गुरुवारी ऍडमिट करू
विदिता यू आर नॉट एबल टू म्यूट देम
ऑपरेशनच्या अगोदर
दॅट्स बेस्ट वील बी अनम्यूट सो दॅट्स इट So just the last, sorry about that, investors. Jeet, so it's for the last bit. We are trying to do very long-term tie-ups in terms of bagasse. The effort is to make it more stable with the sugar companies so that we don't have volatility, even if we have higher prices. But we sort of make an effort towards more longer-term relationships. And going forward, I think we'll continue to build on it because more or less that is our lifeblood. So we have to make sure that that's stable.
Jeet, I would like to add one more thing here.
Yeah.
So when you look at the figures from the P&L, sometimes you will find volatility. Otherwise also, because, you know, the rice husk, is also dependent upon the quality of rice husk. So, for example, this quarter, we had heavy rains. So because of that, the consumption has to go up because, you know, you would need higher amount of risers being used because, you know, it might have got wet or it would have higher moisture. So, you know, those things, so the climatic conditions would also, you know, impact the consumption of the risers. So there also you will see when you compare P&L quarter to quarter, you will also find some kind of differences. It is not because of the price thing, but it is more of a consumption pattern.
Sir, can you give us some quantum of this volatility just to our understanding? I mean, to what ranges do they move? I mean, I understand sugar production is a very seasonal thing, and you know, the production numbers are up and down depending upon how the market is. So, I mean, do they range plus or minus 20%, or they move within just a 5% range?
Are you saying about the price?
How it really impacts our EBITDA margins also, right? So,
no, but are you saying about the price, or are you saying about the quantity?
The cost of procuring bagasse,
Cost of procuring bagasse, Mr. Jeet, is not much volatile as of now. If we see the trend of last 5 to 6 years, pretty stable. Because previously we entered into five years contract with the sugar mills, and presently also we are looking at least 5 years, if not 10 years. So probably it remains more or less plus minus 10-12%. That's it. Similarly, the overall input pricing, bagasse is one major chunk. Second major chunk of input pricing is rices, as indicated by Jignesh Bhai. Yes, there is a volatile pricing jumping depending upon the crop. And it has a seasonal impact also. So second, if you see second quarter versus second quarter year on year basis, you will see similar trend of consumption almost on per ton of product.
Okay, and in an exceptional scenario like we are facing right now, of high energy prices, I mean, do we get a pass through of these higher costs when we renew our contracts?
We do. Again, going back to your initial question, if you see globally, a percentage change in the imported pulp, which we procure as part of our consumption, just to give a glimpse, from $600 a ton, it has gone up to 1,000 tons, again, 735 tons, and now hovering around 900 tons. So there's more of volatility in imported fiber.
Okay, right. So my second question is just, I mean, I've been hearing about, you know, company aiming to become a debt-free company. And again, whenever the re-leveraging process starts, whenever you take up the new project, you will again, you know, start to ramp up the debt levels. But again, I just want to understand this release of pledge. I hope it is not coming from a mindset to probably, you know, not being able to offer in future. I mean, if the requirement is whenever the company re-leverages its balance sheet.
Yeah, Jagdeep, so, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. All our work is in service of a single focus, that we will build this huge organization to service the earth. Simple as that. Now, whatever it needs, everything else is in service of that. So dilution, leveraging, pledging, non-pledging, etc. Of course, we'll take, you know, balanced decisions based on the advice that we get and the options that we have. But it'll all be in singular service. Everything that we do, the moment we wake up till the moment we sleep, single thought that, you know, how do we build better materials and how do we build it at scale? So, you know, whether it's Jagdeep, Jignesh Bhai, me, anybody else in the team, we all sort of live and breathe that notion. So with that in mind, we will see how it goes. We will take balanced decisions, but we will not lose sight of our goals. So if the company, so we've taken crazy decisions, right? We came out of CDR, we wanted to invest into molded products. No banker was ready to do it. So, of course, they wanted pledging of shares. So, we had to do it. But would you say that you shouldn't have gone to that expansion? I would say no. Even if we have struggled for molded products for 4 years, today we are better. So, should we have waited for the unpledging and then done it? Even on hindsight, I would say no. You know, the idea is that ultimately, how do you to service the purpose and the vision and the goal that you are going after. So that is what we will be driven by. and we will keep striving towards that. And these are all, you know, small nuts and bolts which we will loosen, tighten as need be, you know, and that'll remain our focus going forward. But you're right, we will take balanced decisions, but the decision will never be driven by the fact that whether it's pledging, not pledging, volatile, not volatile. The decision will be driven by a singular fact: does the business make sense? If it business makes sense, we'll find a way to find the money.
So my only point is, because money is going to be available, if you assume that, then cost of equity is going to be way expensive than the cost of debt, right? So to
sure. that, so that, extent, that is debt, the balance. That is the balance.
But so in debt, that case, if you're going for a debt, then you're open to offer your share again, right? If the need be. Because as an investor, I am not at all concerned with 100% pledge, nor am I concerned with the debt levels at the company, because they are very much comfortable. And to really grow, you will need a debt to really grow your balance sheet. So I am so
again, we have debt. Yeah. We have good guides like yourself and your business partner. And, you know, we get good guidance from you, and there are many others. So we look at all the options ultimately on the table. And we, Jignesh Bhai and his team, will measure all the options. And whatever seems to be the wisest option for the long-term focus, we'll take that. And we will definitely want your insights, because you guys are in the world of investment and monetary, and the knowledge is much higher. So we will definitely look for your thought process as well as we present maybe next quarter on how we are thinking of taking things forward.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. And thank you. About Jagdeep sir's achievement and about his skills and qualities, because this is probably the first time we are hearing, you know, a lot about him too. So it's good to hear about him.
We are blessed to have him with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just from the services.
Thank you, Jeep. Praveen, Mr. Praveen Sharma, you can go next. I think he's not here. We have another Praveen. Praveen, are you here? Okay. So we... Yeah, Praveen, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Hi. So, just two few questions. First one is on this pledging thing. You know, as an investor, do have an issue. So, I just wanted to know, when you say your pledging will be over by year end, it's a financial year or calendar year, means December or March? Hello?
Yeah. So, I'll answer this question. This would happen within this quarter. So, you know, in the next quarter, we'll try to
achieve. Great. And next one is basically this name change of the US subsidiary. Is there any specific reason for the name change or?
We are trying to keep it simple. So, PACA basically stands for packaging with a soul. That's our whole motto. It also has our founder's name embedded in it. Our founder's name was KK. So part of the reason why we chose PAKKA was because we wanted his name to be embedded in what we do going forward. It has a lot of meaning for us. Yash is, of course, something that is there for a while. When we look at US, it's a completely new market where we have no presence. So when we talk to people there, they like the idea of a simple, straightforward, singular name. Rather than multiple names. They don't know Yash or PACA. So with that in mind, it was an early stage. We had just formed the company. So we said, let's just make it PACA Incorporated and go forward. All the other divisions that we are making also are with the PACA name going forward. And we will see how that sticks to us.
Okay, great. The next question is basically with this merger of Yash Compositable, you know, and assuming it will be stabilized, all this merger activities and the operational issues will be sorted out in, say, next two quarters, and this new machine coming up for the molded division, which we, you know, in the previous speaker spoke about it, you mentioned it. So where do we see the tableware business top line to be there in, say, Q1 or Q2 of next year? How much do we see to it? Means what do we vision about it? And the second is, with this merger and synergies all in place, what kind of margins can we expect from this division?
Jagdeep, you want to answer?
Yeah. yeah, with the addition of these three machines would be almost 30% add-on installed capacity, so which would go live by December, and the full impact will come in last quarter of this financial year. If we see, probably we look at least doubling the top line and getting onto a positive PBT percentage. And we always look at a business of at least providing us 30% PBT. So that there's the aim and there's the target where the team is working on. And hopefully we touch.
So, sir, am I right in understanding? Am I right in understanding that we can get around 60-70 crores from tableware division once everything is sorted out?
That's true.
Okay.
Also, and I think what you would appreciate is that Jagdeep and the team have made a lot of effort to do go asset light and to basically use our pulp to produce elsewhere also without capital investment. So that process has also started. I think next quarter onwards, you'll see a revenue significantly higher from the other sites. The other thing which you would start hearing from this month onwards is that we are launching our delivery containers, which has again been in the making for the last 2 years. Finally, we have a wonderful solution, which is leak resistant and able to handle the heat for the period of delivery, which is about 2 hours. So that's something that we've been very keen on, like the shopping bags, the e-commerce bags. Similar to that, the team has innovated and built that. And within this month, we are doing a launch of those products, and they will also play a big role going forward on the molded side.
Great. And sir, just a last one, till the time we go for the major expansion, aiming for 2025 blueprint of which will be, we will be put forward on next quarter, I think. So before that, apart from the tableware division, what are the growth impetus? Means the tableware division itself can generate 60-70 crores with more. And then after that, are we using the entire pulp for in-house or we are selling it and we can, outside also, and we can use it for in-house, and further more kind of products like this delivery thing you have mentioned, delivery bag.
Yeah. As of now, what we told about a asset light, we have surplus pulp to support those asset light unit, which we are getting into a contract, and we already got partnered with one of the manufacturer. And further, we'll be expanding on those peripherals also. And we will be supporting them with the pulp from our unit.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's what from my side. And all the best and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Praveen. HM, you can go next.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
My name is Hiten Muchhal. I'm so sorry for this initial that you can see. First of all, I genuinely must appreciate one thing about Ved is that, he has decided to, go ahead with a longer conversation on this part. He wants to ensure that every investor needs to be answered. So genuine appreciation to you, Ved, for considering this. Also, I want to appreciate the whole fact that, the entire pledge issue is being handled very well. And we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel somewhere around the end of next quarter. Similarly, another concern was the Yash Compostable, which is again getting into the merger. So I think these two address the investor concerns well. The big concern that I have been attending your con calls for a while now. And our target for 2025 is to achieve a sales turnover of about 1350 crores, which is perhaps 5 to 6 times from what we are today, which means about 1100 crores of sales jump. I somehow am not able to get a clarity about what is exactly the execution like, because we are reaching end of 2022 now. The target to achieve this turnover is 2025, which is 3 years. Okay. And considering that in the third year, we are going to achieve this target, we have two more years to order, do the right kind of capex, get them installed, hit the markets, ensure that our capacities get full. I would actually, as an investor, as a shareholder and as a part owner of the company, would like to see a much better clarity on what is the execution that we are looking at. Somehow I'm not clear about this and I would seek your guidance. Thank you.
Sure. I think, really appreciate that you take the time and join the calls, and it's been always a pleasure to hear your questions. There is a lot of clarity within the company, but I think, like I said before, it's better to thrash it out more before we actually share everything. So I would say one more quarter, if you can wait. I think next quarter we'll be in a better place. Just to give you a slight understanding, it's a mix of asset light and capex. So you know, there's a lot of focus, as Jagdeep mentioned, on building capacities and franchisees who can produce for us, and we can go asset light. On the compostable side, like you said, the merger will also lead to synergies, because compostables doesn't only sell PACA products. They are also looking at sourcing other compostable solutions. So that's across the world. That's the second part. We are, of course, looking at our US subsidiary now, getting into gear. But that said, the biggest jump, I agree with you totally, and you're absolutely on track. The biggest jump will come from a capacity expansion. And that's what I want to talk about in the next quarter rather than now, because it's better that it's more thrashed out. We are very clear. We have an actual site to talk to you about, because just now, you know, we are still in that phase of exploring the right place, whether it's going to be near here or it's going to be elsewhere. So those are things which are still up in the air. So it's not fair on our team or on the investors to sort of talk about it right now. But that said, I can assure you that we are all working very, very, in a very focused way to achieving that target and beyond in the next this. And I would not be surprised if the team actually goes beyond the figures which are actually troubling you right now. So you know, so let's wait and let's watch. There is a certain thought process in place. And the world is changing. The world is changing. I don't think we have the luxury of using products the way we do today. So that also helps us go forward. There's a lot of possibilities that are opening up.
No, I do completely agree. And that's perhaps one of the reasons where, you know, I agree with your vision, and that's how I'm invested in this company. Again, I mean, I would still like to, and I apologize for nailing you down one more time, but I'm still not clear as to, you know, whether and how are we going to achieve this target by 2025. Yes, I do understand that you are perhaps, the plans are on the drawing board, but we need to get at least some idea as an investor, as co-owners of the company, as to how is this going to materialize? Because on one side, we are talking about...
Hiten bhai, can you wait for one more quarter?
I think you have been observing me. I've been waiting for more than four quarters to get a
one more quarter. One more quarter. We'll talk about it next quarter. Please wait.
Is it going to be March 2025, or are you perhaps likely to overshoot that target?
The aim is to cross the target and beyond March 25.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hitenji. Nihar, you can go next.
Hello, I'm Madhubha.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So my question is an extension of what Praveen asked. So regarding the merger that will be completed by the end of this year, and also the US subsidiary adding to the top line of the company, can we see any improvement in the profitability of the company in terms of improving the margins? And my second question is that how, like, what is the proportion of the, like, the customers? I mean, in terms of whatever the clients are there, how they're forming the part of, let's say, 5 customers forming 80% of revenues. So because I wanted to get an idea of like how much, you know, the bargaining power has the company has, so that the, you know, the margins will be retained. Those two questions are there.
Nihar, as initially I mentioned, we always enter into a long-term agreement on procurement as well as our customer base. So we do understand the Pareto 80-20, and we have around 11 to 12 customers in profile who are on percentage, if we talk of paper side, who are almost 80-85% of our total productivity share. If we talk of molded, again, we are working with QSRs, where we again see those kind of figures coming up very soon.
And what about the, you know, like whatever the like how, I mean, that will be repaid, I mean, like the US subsidiary adding to the top line, till when can we expect the debt to be paid off?
No, I didn't get your question. Can you repeat your question, please?
So my question was that the, you know, like the efforts of the marketing by the US compostables adding to the margins and again the US subsidiary. So it will add a lot to the top line of the company. So how quickly are we expecting the debt to be paid off, so that we can support the expansion by raising new debt? So that was my question.
Nihar, I still not, not able to...
we actually are not able to
get your question, yeah. So are you trying to say that because of the Yash Compostable coming in, will the margins will improve and that will give us more funds to do what? More funds to deploy for the next project, something on such...
Nihar, in case you are asking about the debt-free point as stated by Ved initially, was that the question?
Yes. My question was on how the, till when the debt will be paid off, and so that we can expect by this time new debt will be raised for the expansion to achieve the 2025 targets.
Yeah. So the repayment of debt would happen at the earliest. So maybe, within a quarter or so. What we are trying to do is we are trying to raise the funds for the next project by end of the financial year. So that would start, the process would start somewhere in March when the entire project is ready. But before that, the repayment would happen. So repayment would happen, very, very soon, but maybe by any time before the end of next quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Nihar. The next question is by Nikhil, and he has asked us to read it out. So Nikhil says that you're saying you will be long-term debt-free soon. At the same time, you have expansion plans as well. What I can see is that you have cash of about 10 crores and long-term debt of about 34 crores. How are you going to go about it?
I just answer that question. I think Neha's question was that particularly.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Sumesh who's asking us, why did we... Sumesh, you're here. Okay, great. Yeah, Sumesh, okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. So my question is regarding the US subsidiary. So are we doing some kind of technical tie-up with any company based out of there? And are we onboarding some of the QSR chains based in US? Because I think we have a huge market over there for our molded products. I think so.
Thank you. So thank you for that question. The first part is business development, which you talked about in terms of tying up. So what we've done is we've engaged with a market research company right now, we are doing a whole landscape analysis and forming a strategic roadmap of launching in USA. So I think this whole roadmap will be in place by February next year. They've already on the task. And by April, we are expecting to launch in USA. So that's the plan. We are also forming a team there, which is actually, we've already onboarded one person. Two more people are going to be onboarded next week. And they're going to start doing the business development there. The second aspect is, of course, building better technologies. And we have tie-ups getting in place for that. We are looking at numerous possibilities for technology, pulp making, products. not just in US, but from US to different places. We have a potential tie-up in Finland happening right now. There are other people across the world where we are looking at. The third aspect that we are looking at building is building towards more impact investments in the space and looking at possibilities of collaborations and tie-ups. So those are the three broad prospects for the US company. Business development, as in expanding our market. Second, looking for possibilities for innovations and new product development. And the third is for investing for the future. So those are the three broad ideas we are working towards. And I think as we go forward in the next maybe 6 to 9 months, we will start seeing some results coming in from that side as well.
Okay. So my next question is, sir, with regards to the expansion plan. So what was the reason behind the change of, you know, plan? Because I guess we were targeting it from quite a long time. So why such a sudden change? Hello.
Yes. Yes, Sumesh. It's not a sudden change. It's again rethinking about what has happened is initially this financial year, again, there was concerns of COVID and there was restriction on travel. So we want to be double sure of the technologies, what we go in for. We visit them, we validate them, and we vet them before getting into a supplier contract and purchasing those technologies. Now these, so it has given, if you see other hand, it has given a bit of leverage to rethink, to step back and rethink what more can be done on the technological front and the association with vendor management. So because of COVID, it got delayed. Otherwise, the project, you will very soon hear the project coming up.
So sir, will it be in the same kind of range like 250 crores earlier we were expecting? So will it be in the same range, 200, 250 crores or a little bit lesser than that or more than that?
We are still working on it. A few days more, we'll make it louder.
Okay. Okay. Just on a suggestion part, sir. So as Ved sir recently said, like we are launching a delivery container in the month of December, right? So what if we tie up with Zomato or Swiggy guys, because I think they have the database for all the restaurants in India. So won't it be a good thing for us?
We are very good friends with them. We talk to them on a regular basis. There are certain tie-ups already in place. With Swiggy, there is a tie-up with the Hyperpure model. We are looking forward to dispatching some material to them. Zomato, we are working... Hyperpure is with Zomato. Swiggy, we are also working with their Instamart model. We are working also with Grofers in their delivery system as well. So all those things are definitely happening because all these companies are also quite high on sustainability and they've been looking for solutions. So we talk to them on a regular basis. We are definitely expecting to have those tie-ups as we go forward.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sumesh. We have some follow-up questions. Manali, you can go ahead.
Hi. So my follow-up question is again related to the molded lines. So I had just got back. I wanted to check on the capacity. So when I checked, the maximum production that we've done is 1,300 tons. And we have a capacity of 3,750. So that comes up to approximately 40% of your capacity utilization. So, I mean, why are we not being able to utilize the other 60%? I mean, what's wrong over there?
This is a learning period what we have. This was pretty new technology to us and to the team members across domestic level, if we see. So we were, I think, second or third in the installation of molded products. We had some initial hiccups and we are able to get it onto around 60% as of now. And we see it moving up and up now. But it was a learning curve for us as well.
So when we are saying, you know, that okay, having said, even if it's a learning curve and we are coming at 60, so do you have a vision to see it at 100%, or there is a possibility we might only see up to 60 or 70?
So the target is to get on to 80%, which 100% efficiency, if we see, is not possible on the installed capacity. One is installed capacity and one is operating capacity. We see reaching up to 80% of installed capacity. So those are the
Yeah, so if we're saying 80%, so why don't we write off the balance 20%? I mean, if we're not going to be able to use it, why don't we just write it off? Or so,
technically speaking, one is installed capacity, which is 100% in terms of OEE, which includes everything. Your regular downtime, your losses. So those 20% accounts for that. So 100% is the design capacity.
Okay. And even, so, okay, I'll just confirm whatever I understood, that we are operating at 100% capacity, but at 60% utilization.
So
that's correct?
Yeah, out of 100% utilization is 60, and the target is to go up to 80%.
Okay. Okay, perfect. And my second question is, I know you're going to announce plans in the next quarter. Only thing is, when we are saying from 3750, we are obviously coming, we've taken up a hike in our installed capacity, but we have an aim of 30,000. Now, when we are saying 30,000 capacity, and we're saying, you know, we are going on an asset-light model also. So, I mean, how is an asset-light model possible with our molded products? I mean, if I just a random thing, but we have a specification, right? A specific mold is formed. And so, is it easy to find something where this same specification is available?
No, it's slow. So, again, Manali, super incisive questions. Thank you again. The way, a couple of things there. Number one is, of course, we are going to keep expanding our capacity as a manufacturer. But that should not limit us from supplying to the market. We are very clear that our brand actually has a certain design, a certain ethos, a certain quality. So when we look at, when we say asset light, it's actually a, it's like a, what do you call it? It's like your Parle G model. It's a dedicated franchisee manufacturing. So they manufacture as per our specs. We actually own the molds. We actually own the tools because they are our designs. They are patented. We don't want them to be copied, etc. So we actually own the molds. Even now, our team is sitting in the, like Jagdeep was talking about, the advanced site we are starting. So even today, our team is sitting there doing a startup with them. So that's the idea, that we will not be compromising on our brand or design, or we will not be traders. We will not be doing generic production. Pulp will come from us. So it's a certain quality. Final product will be picked up by us in our design and brand and marketed by us. So that's the basic fundamental. Although that, in addition to that, what we are getting right now is a lot of pressure from the international market to supply generic products. But that's a different business altogether. We will probably do that anyways, but that's a neutral product, non-chuck, non-designed by us. And that's just adding to our turnover with some margin. So that's also something that we are looking at. But fundamentally, we are looking at going on a franchisee job work kind of sites where we govern the raw material as well as the finished.
Okay. So, having said that, I just want to understand. So, are we clear on our molds now, or we are still under the research phase for the molds also?
We were
always clear on our designs. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. We are very clear on our the products, what we want to offer as an offering to customer. And those are pretty different designs what we offer to market, and not regular SKUs what others have. You probably might be following the company. We have a red dot as well. So these are different products, different molds, different designs. Those are given by us only to accept to the other companies where we are getting our job work done, and the raw material is ours. So both the end product and the majorly are ours. The infrastructure is being theirs. So that's the model we have.
Okay. And just one more thing I want to ask was that, so this quarter we've seen that approximately 11 crore rupees have been paid. So there's a loan repayment that has been made. So, I mean, we have big capex plans coming up. So why couldn't we just keep that money for this quarter and, you know, probably consider the repayment a little later when we already have plans to expand? So I just want to understand, was the rate of interest the only factor which was considered, you know, probably we can source a lower interest rate loan, or what was it?
So Manali, this repayment that you are looking at is combination of our term loan repayments,
yeah,
which are as per the contracts. And the other thing is reduction in the working capital amount. Because of the inflow of cash coming from the business, your working capital requirement is going down. So this is purely, you know, so limits has not been reduced. So we have those limits available. As and when we need it in terms of the working capital, we can easily again get the money from the banks. And it's only the repayment which is as per the schedule, which has happened. So there is no repayment as such has happened.
Okay. And just if you could give me one figure on the maintenance capex per annum.
Maintenance capex or maintenance repair and maintenance cost.
So maintenance capex.
Maintenance capex. Like is there some capex which is always, that capex which is always required to an asset?
I wish they would allow us capex, but they normally don't. They have to put it in repair. We have to put it in the P&L.
Yeah, it's either
okay.
As cost sensors as a cost factor, or a capex coming in.
Okay. So the repair and maintenance is purely the maintenance capex. So we can get that from the P&L. That's okay.
Yeah, that's the operating cost.
Okay. Thanks a lot, team.
Thank you,
Manali. Arshan, you can go next.
Yeah, thank you so much. Just following up on what Jagdeep ji just said, that like when you are saying the 100% of the molding capacity, that's utilizing at more or 40 to 50% utilization levels, right? So when you are planning of increasing it to 80%, would that come with an extra cost? Like from what I have known, there are some small machines and there are some big machines. And currently the small machines are being operated while the big ones are not being operated. So if you start operating them to increase the utilization level, would the operating cost be slightly higher compared to the previous machines or something like that?
So the fundamental question on reducing the cost is to increase the productivity level. So increasing the productivity level, setting up assets, what you have, your cost of manufacturing always comes down. So that's the fundamental point. Second, once we are on the Kaizens and the improvement plans, there probably not be a much of investment in the existing assets. But yes, there can be a minor requirement of funds, which would be done from the internal accruals. Otherwise, more of it's a Kaizen's activities coming out of the plant.
Okay, got it. What would be the fund which you told that it would be from internal accrual? Do you have any idea what the number would be?
Not much. That will be under repair and maintenance cost.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Shreyas, you can go ahead. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for giving me another opportunity to ask the question. So firstly, I would like to, you know, go about with one question that we see the shares getting too much illiquid, as people, you know, terming it as an illiquid share because there are not too much of trading going on in the share. So, sir, can we see that whenever you all tie up with any of the companies, like as you said, you are tying up with Swiggy, Zomato, and, you know, also with Grofers, and we are seeing you are tying up with big companies. So when we see you all are tying up with big companies, is it possible for the company to, you know, just give a notification on the BSE website regarding the team? So you know, that helps people, you know, to come to know that, yeah, that there is a company which is doing so much. Because your company, what I see as an investor, being invested in so many companies, I still find your company is the only company which can be actually a future, you know, multi-bagger. That honestly speaking, that what I can find from the company, the way the company is working, and the, you know, the vision that you have, I've seen your TED Talks also that you have done. So the vision that you have as a, you know, promoter, and, you know, you're working selflessly for the company, thinking that it's your own and everything that you are doing for the company. So can we have a notification sort of thing, so that you know, helps everyone, you know, it gets an eye on everyone that, yeah, this company is doing something great, and, you know, people start catching it. And so if that thing happens, your shares become, you know, a more of a liquid kind of thing. That's why I was, you know, much worried that why the company isn't listed in NSE, and the company should be listed in NSE. So as I said, in within you know, March, we'll see the company getting listed on NSE. So that's what my concern is. If we get a notification, you know, it flashes on, you know, maybe the news channels, you say, or maybe whatever it is, Telegrams or Twitter or somewhere, wherever it is. But whenever people see, like since now Zomato is also as a listed company, and most probably Swiggy is also going to get listed soon. So whenever you are getting, you know, tying up with Zomato, maybe your company is not highlighted right now too much. Your company won't get the news right now, but whenever Zomato will also have a tie up with you. So since you being a listed company and Zomato also getting tie up with you, the a notification would definitely come from their end too. Like you are giving a notification on the BSE, but you know, whenever we'll go with Zomato, maybe with Economics Times, or whenever we go with news channel somewhere, it will be flashing that Zomato has, you know, get itself, you know, attached with the Yash Pakka for this thing and for this purpose. So, you know, that will make people, you know, get more about, you know, people will start knowing more about your company, and your vision is something great. And so when people will know about your company, the, you know, the liquidity, you know, starts. Because right now, whenever see, for example, if I go with one small example, maybe we see a buyer at 80 and maybe a seller at 81. And if we go on a liquid counter as, for example, just, you know, go with sale, for example, Steel Authority of India. So we see the buyer standing at 120 and the seller at 120.05. So we see just a difference of 5 paise, whereas we see a difference of 1 rupee, maybe sometimes 2 to 5 rupee in your share. Like 3 to 4 days back, I was just looking, like someone sold the shares at the price went down, made a low of 75 and suddenly started trading at 80. So the difference that it is creating so much huge gap in the share price. So these things get stable, because once the stability comes, it's good for your company too. I guess being an illiquid share doesn't give something good, you know, about the company. So can this thing be done? And do you have any plans for, you know, issuing bonus or going with the split or increasing your dividend amount, or maybe, you know, going a bit frequent with the dividend? Like right now, from past few years, you've started giving 1 rupee dividend. So will it be increased, or will it be more of like going with interim as well as final, with, you know, or increasing the amount, something like that? Do you have a plans for all these?
So Shreyas, I'll take your first question. So point well taken about, you know, I think what you are trying to say is increasing the visibility of the company in the eyes of investors.
Definitely.
So that point well taken. Having said that, we are doing all regular filings which are required, all the announcements which are required. We always do, as a good corporate governance, we always do it with the
exchange. Sir, I'm not doubting your corporate governance. Corporate governance at all at any
correct, point. Correct. No, so let me complete. So that point we are doing. But we take your point in terms of, you know, increasing the visibility to the investors, of, you know, telling all the announcements that are done using either a BSE platform or any social media platform to announce things which are positive for the company. So that we will ensure that, you know, we'll try
to. I'm not saying you to use social media, sir. So you should obviously use BSE, sir. That's the best thing that you can do. When you will use the BSE, sir, the social media will obviously get attracted to your company. It is the BSE that you have to, you know, put forward a very small notification, maybe just a small page with the logo of your company and written that you have been tied with Zomato for these things, for maybe you have tied with Brofos, you've tied with. So whenever you're tying with any big companies, or whenever you're doing anything big in, you know, US, so when this thing starts coming, people like I recently saw Ramakrishna Forging, it was not getting too much highlighted, but you know, it started getting order and, you know, it started posting on BSE and SE, and we see continuously that company coming up forward. So if we see, if y'all start also doing the same thing, whenever y'all tie up with any company, any small thing happening, anything that is happening in the company, which is good for the company, good for shareholders, and which is important for us also to know about it, and a notification is issued. So that will obviously be
point taken.
Shreyas, just for the want of time, I'll let Jignesh bhai answer, and then Nivedita, we can take it towards closure because it's going to be 2 hours. So unless until there's something urgent, we can take it up. Otherwise, yeah, Jignesh bhai, please.
Corporate action.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Shreyas, I already, you know, we take this as a good advice.
And the only thing, Jignesh bhai, that I wanted to add there was, Shreyas, we have a very clear dividend policy that the board has announced. I think last quarter, as the profits go up, there will be more dividends. It's 20% of the profit will be always allocated for dividends. And that's the direction we are headed, so that there's a clear dividend policy, and that will keep going on so that we are not discussing every year. If the profitability is good, we dispatch more dividends. If the profitability is lower, there's lower dividends to come by. So that will just become more stable going forward.
What about
it's basically 20% of profitability. And Shreyas, I would request you to if somebody has a last question, to let them take it, because I think others are there as well. So let's respect that time, please.
Nikhil wanted to ask to repeat the debt repayment part because he could not catch it. So if we could repeat that. Otherwise, we can end with
it. We're done? Okay, yeah, great. Great.
Yeah, so I'll take this, Nikhil, about the debt repayment, because as of now, our total debt outstanding is in the range of around 35 to 37 CR, or the term loan. And what we are planning to do is, we already have internal accruals as of now, and we'll also start accumulating some internal accruals. There'll be certain equity which will be flowing in. And with putting both the things together, we'll repay the term loan first. In the meantime, we'll, you know, formalize the project. And then once the project is formalized, we will, we'll raise the funds for the next project. So as of now, for the debt, we will do a mix of internal accruals plus the fresh equity and repay the debt. I think that answers your question.
Yeah. So I think with that, we can end the session today. Thank you for amazing questions and some amazing suggestions as well. We will talk to you again in the next quarter. And we have noted down some of your queries, and we'll get back to you with those. Girish, you said if we could put this up on YouTube, we'll try doing that as well. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your trust and your investment as well. Thank you. Namaskar.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.